Big hello and welcome to the governance update from VLGA Connect for the 23rd of July 2021. The Olympics get underway today. Steve Cooper, I think we're going to be competing for attention for the next couple of weeks. Hello to you.
Hello, Chris. As long as the Ollie Roos can not get too many cards and stay on the field after last night's terrific win against Argentina.
Do you know what? I watched that match and I surprised myself by sticking the whole thing out and quite enjoying it. I don't, soccer usually pours me to tears, but I really enjoyed it.
Well done, you.
Welcome to another governance update, and we have quite a bit to talk about this week, as usual, I've got to say. But with COVID taking hold in New South Wales in particular at the moment, Steve, and what are we, the 4th of September, it's less than 2 months from council elections. Where have you heard this before? People are agitating and advocating that you can't hold an election under COVID conditions. It's unsafe.
I'm getting weird flashbacks, Chris, as to something we've all heard before. Although, similar circumstances, except that. Oh, sorry, let's go back a step. So calls for, what was the word used in the media today to describe the upcoming?
It's a schmozzle. A schmozzle. Lovely word.
One of the suburban mayors described it.
Yes, it was one of the mayors. I was just trying to find which mayor that was. Mayor Warren from... No, it wasn't Mayor Warren. It was Mayor Waller from Liverpool, I think, that said it. Actually, I might be wrong because they quote many, many mayors in this story. So just hold that. I'll find which one said it was just a mozzle, but one of them did.
And these things cross party lines, Chris, because I do recall it was a Labor mayor calling on a Liberal government to postpone the elections, which is quite the contrary to what happened in Victoria last year. I thought the other thing that was interesting is that the Minister, Shelley Hancock's in New South Wales, said that voting would be available in person, by post, or online. And at the moment, the position of the state government is that that election should continue.
And if for no other reason, I'd like to see it continue because I want to see how this iVote thing works. Not that I'll get to use it, but... would this be the first example we know of electronic voting being used for council elections?
I think so, Chris. And I think it's an issue where you and I might differ somewhat because I know a few years ago, and a very esteemed Australian senator, I think Senator Clive Palmer, called for the abandonment of pencils and papers and said that we've got archaic election systems in Australia. And we should move to electronic. So you're obviously a fan of that. But I should say I'm very much a traditionalist. I love the traceability of pencils and paper.
Look, the jury's out with me, Steve, but I am a fan of progress. I do think technology can help at times. I just want to set the record straight. It was the Mayor of Canterbury, Bankstown, Carl Asfour, who says it's a schmozzle. But, we are having deja vu because we went through this for months last year in Victoria. Of course, it was an entirely postal-based election in Victoria, so different circumstances.
And I think that's important. I wanted to say we're having deja vu again, Chris, but that might be pointed out.
All over again.
And isn't that probably at the heart of it? I mean, one of the things for Victoria was that we were already had the systems and processes in place for the conduct of a postal ballot across the state. Those in New South Wales will know best whether they're able to accommodate voting that is postal or online without attendance voting.
Indeed. So there's a story in the Sydney Morning Herald today. We'll put the link up if you want to check it out. The local government minister is insisting the elections will go ahead with those options of in-person, by post or online. Even the Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, who I thought was probably pretty busy at the moment, has taken some time to comment on it as well, commenting that the minister is working daily with the Electoral Commissioner to ensure a safe COVID-safe election. So we'll watch that one with interest.
I suspect we haven't heard the last of it, Chris.
I do. I think your suspicions are correct. All right, moving on, Steve. We wanted to talk a bit about no confidence motions. It seems that they're all around us at the moment, and there have been a few fairly highly publicised ones in not only recent weeks but recent months. probably Yarra in Melbourne is the latest one, where a no confidence motion was brought by some councillors this week against a councillor who is at the moment in the middle of a legal process. And we don't want to say anything, to be frank, about that as it plays its course. But politics, do you think the main factor here in this one being brought forward?
People who know better than us, Chris, are saying that it's politics. That is the general scuttlebutt. Yeah, we've talked about no confidence motions in the past. I find it quite interesting in the context of the fact that we know that the minister's review into the culture of local government, and particular focusing on the council, will be kicking off very shortly. And I just wonder at times if, when these sorts of things happen in the council chamber, anyone's actually giving any thought to the impact on the culture of the council. And those on either side will say that they are, presumably.
That's a really good point. And it's twofold, isn't it? It's the impact on the culture of the council organisation, as well as the council itself, but also what that says to the community and the image, about the image and the reputation of that council.
Yeah, at a time when trust in government is at an all-time low.
Absolutely. And, you know, local government. I spoke with Terry Moran, AC, this week for a special VLGA Connect episode. We talk a bit about that. Trust in public institutions and traditionally local government polls much higher in terms of trust than state and federal. We wouldn't want to put that in jeopardy.
Chris, can I commend that episode? I think it's 192 of VLGA Connect. Terry's comments about the state of the public service and the relationship between the elected and the administration at all levels of government are really telling and worth a listen for anyone involved in government at any level. So well done to you and Terry on that interview.
Thanks, Steve. It was really good to speak with him. Really enjoyed that one. So in the Yarra case, the no confidence motion was unsuccessful, probably along party lines. I don't know. I'm just surmising that might have been the case. There's almost a mirror image going on in Bathurst, Steve. I don't know if you've caught up with this one. They've replaced Dubbo in terms of the gift that keeps on giving at the moment, where the mayor very recently was subject of some very public reports. The ABC investigated, I think, and revealed alleged blackmail against another councillor. That's an ongoing police matter. And similarly to the Yarra situation, three councillors have brought forward a no confidence motion in that former mayor. He stepped down as mayor. He's just one of the councillors now. The other six didn't support it. So it was lost. But again, a bit of a political exercise in the middle of an ongoing process.
Where the culture's already been seriously damaged, Chris. And I understand that listeners of the rather excellent local government roundup are staying across that issue as well.
They are, you're right. Actually, I'm pleased you mentioned that. So that's Bathurst. But I didn't know about this till you drew my attention to it. There's been a long-running saga, over 12 months at least, up in the Northern Territory involving the Darwin Turf Club, Steve.
Yeah, it's gone off at more than a canter. Chris, and I thought it was always a useful reminder that we should look outside local government, that sometimes there's little things that happen that provide salutary lessons for us. My understanding of the situation there is that there's a $12 million government grant for some capital works that was offered up to the Darwin Turf Club. Sort of really bread and butter conduct issues, I suppose. There's been an allegation that the chair, who I believe has stood down, the allegation is that the chair had a conflict of interest through involvement in a company that would be tendering for the construction works as a consequence. So that element has caused a bit of a flurry amongst the committee. But the thing I found there was one other thing too. A suggestion that members of the board had engaged in negotiations that ought normally be best left to the administration. And again, probably with all of the best intentions, but forgetting that actually the board and the administration have a different role, not unlike that bit in the Local Government Act that says that the role of the councillor does not include the role of the CEO, Chris. But the bit I found really interesting was that a senior public servant has been publicly named in the media over the fact that he has been internally rebuked for his role in the administration of the grant scheme. And I was sort of ruminating, I suppose, Chris, about the number of times when you're in a difficult issue in a council and the person who is aggrieved wants to know that a particular council officer has been subject of disciplinary processes or dismissed. And of course, we know the answer to that one, don't we, Chris?
Well, they actually don't have any right to know how that matter's dealt with internally.
No, it's an absolute privacy issue, and finding a way to say, look, just understand that it's been managed internally, but for a whole bunch of reasons, including privacy, we're not at liberty to actually describe to you what action's been taken.
Yes.
Important.
Curious one. So we've had the link up for this story from the ABC, which says, and I quote, despite the warning, the gentleman who heads the department at the centre of this has been tasked with providing advice to the cabinet about recommendations made in the report that criticised him. That's an interesting one, Steve.
I can't add to that, Chris. Just leave it there.
That's the bit that jumped out for me. But
Independent advice.
The commissioner's report made findings of improper conduct against the Darwin Turf Club Incorporated, as well as five individuals, none of whom were this particular bureaucrat. We might leave that one there. Some interesting trends going on at the moment. All right, well, there's some truly governance stuff on the plate this week, Steve. Let's do some almost classified announcements. I know you want to pay tribute to someone who's leaving the sector after a very long time this week.
Chris, on the day of recording, Keith Williamson of the City of Melbourne, Director of All Things Governance and Organisation at Melbourne, but long-standing governance manager both there and at Monash City, is retiring after 40 years. Keith has been a doyen and a source of really solid advice for governance professionals right across the state. So we wish Keith well.
Congratulations on a stellar career there, Keith, and for giving Steve the opportunity to use the word doyen on the governance update. I think that's first. Thank you for that, Steve. I want to congratulate Bruce Dobson, who's been a long-term director at the City of Burrundara, is also a member of the board of LG Pro. And I had the pleasure of working with Bruce for a while I was filling in as the CEO there for 8 or 9 months. I don't know, when was that, last year? Bruce has been appointed CEO at the City of Knox this week, and well done.
And congratulations to Bruce, and great for the City of Knox councillors to tick off that appointment and sort of move through now in Bruce's role delivering on their council plan.
So for once, we've got a CEO appointment that doesn't create a CEO vacancy at another council, so I don't get to add another line to the list that we're monitoring on the Local Government News Roundup website, Steve. But what has been added since we last spoke is the fact that at Mildura Regional City Council, Mildura Rural City Council, they've ceased their CEO recruitment process without making an appointment. And I thought this was a little bit sad, to be honest, that they're unable to identify a satisfactory applicant.
Yeah, definitely. If at first you don't succeed, try again. So good luck to the councillors at Mildura, because I would have thought there's a lot to be said for that job with the combination of successes and challenges at Mildura. So, I hope they're able to fill that shortly.
And it's a great place. I would think it should really appeal. And I just wonder, in the climate that we're in at the moment with COVID, et cetera, whether it's, you know, people aren't really looking to relocate potentially. They might want to change roles closer to home, but perhaps people are thinking that it's not the time to be looking to make big changes like that. I don't know, but it surprised me that they didn't attract a high caliber field.
No, too true. It is a plum job, Chris.
All right. I think we'll leave it there. Thank you, Steve. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Oh, no, just a reminder for people to check the VLGA events website or events page on our website, because we've got a number of items coming up, including the Councillor Fast Track on the 3rd of September, Chris, which will be great.
Excellent. And another global panel coming up on the topic of building community wealth. We'll tell you more about that in the weeks ahead. But for now, that's the governance update. Thank you, Steve. See you next week.
Thanks, Chris. Cheers.
Steve Cooper, the Chief of Staff of the VLGA, with us for the governance update from VLGA Connect. Bye for now.